Call the meeting to order. Margaret, will you do the roll call, please?
Sure. Janice Peters. Here. Betty Winholz. Here. Noah Smuckler.
Here.
Carla Borchard.
Here.
Rick Grantham. Here. Robert Enns. Here. Bud McHale. Here. Hal Phones. Here. Shirley Lyon.
Here.
Michael Foster.
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Nice to see everybody here. Last meeting, I think we had more staff than public, so you guys outnumbered them this time, so congratulations. I'm going to open the floor to public comment here in a moment, but I wanted to explain that I'm assuming that most of you are here for item B1, which is the upgrade project modifications to the treatment plant. What we'll do on that item when we get there is we will have a presentation by staff, should get everybody up to speed, then we'll have some comments from the Morro Bay City Council and the Cayucas Board, and then after that we'll open it for public comment. So if you wish to comment on that item, you'll have an opportunity to do that under old business. We're also going to take that item right after public comment so that you don't have to sit around here and listen to a bunch of business stuff. So having said that, I'll now open the floor to public comment for items that are not on the agenda this evening.
And here's where public comment is.
Good evening. My name is Marla Jo Bruton, and I'm a resident of North Morro Bay. And I came to the JPA meeting today to let the staff members and the Joint Powers Association and the public as well, if they'd like, they can contact me and they can get an e-copy of this. But this is the Blue Carpet Treatment Program, a proposal for development of a new approach to water cleanup and management. And within this, we have also the national standards regulations, national standards enforcement, and pollution prevention and cleanup of water, the national green standards of performance, effluent limitation, Glossos, Morro Bay, and Cayucas communities. And what we want to do is, and we are beginning the process of collaboration with educational bodies, scientists, on the ground, building, what have you, coming in. We're looking to find to become one of the two pilot programs in California, where the activities that we implement are measured so that the quality of the cleanup to the water and also greenhouse gas sequestering ability improvement through the cleanup of the water and what have you would be measured. And the West Coast Governor's Agreement on Ocean Health, which is Washington, Oregon, and California, all three governors have signed an agreement to work on the ocean health. And each one of those states is going to choose two pilot projects over the next 3 years. They'll have an opportunity over the next 3 years to implement and make a baseline for ocean cleanup. Anyway, so I'd really recommend everyone here checking into this and see if you have something to offer. I'm a little nervous here, but thank you.
Thank you, Marla.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Lindy Owen from Los Osos, and I wanted to address your water issue in Morro Bay and Cayucas. One of the things that's come out of the wastewater treatment plant potential. And I will speak later on B1, but just the idea of conceptually looking at how you save every drop of water and what opportunities you have in the upcoming discussions and process of looking at what you'll be doing for a treatment plant, but also the idea that you can begin designing in collecting rainwater, stormwater, meeting a lot of regulations while also taking and reusing your effluent. We were treated to an incredible tour of the Salinas area where they have 100% reuse of all their retreated effluent, and it's working beautifully. None of the spinach issues have anything to do with the way, because everything is dead in that tertiary treated water. But this is really an opportunity for Morro Bay. It's always bothered me that you're dependent on state water, which I understand is at 30% delivery this year. I don't want to see you having to truck water in from outside to just have drinking supply. So I think this is a great opportunity, and I hope you have very open minds about taking a big step ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, then we'll go to item B1. And before we start with staff, Janice, did you want to give a short verbal report about the technical advisory committee meeting?
I'll let you do it.
Directly to staff?
No, I'll let you do it.
Okay, I think that staff will kind of point toward what happened at the technical advisory committee meeting. So with that
of that project at this time, the following adoption of the facilities master plan, we hired an environmental consultant to begin the CEQA process. As the draft EIR was put together, we performed an extensive flood analysis as part of that process. The results of the flood analysis have been a little striking, and the outcome of that flood analysis was that we would end up potentially moving the wastewater treatment plant site to the south in the areas presently occupied by the sludge drying beds and potentially trailer storage. By doing so, we would get out of the floodplain, and the existing treatment plant would actually be demolished, and the floodplain would be the existing site of that location. Based on the flood analysis, we asked Corello Engineers, who developed the facilities master plan, to look at the area to the south of the sludge drying beds and trailer storage to see whether it was feasible to put an oxidation ditch in that location. That resulted in the facilities plan amendment number 1, which was presented at the last JPA meeting. Subsequent to that JPA meeting, we had a technical advisory committee where we had a more discussion concerning moving the treatment plant site to the south, what location would be used, and the outcome of that meeting was an agreement by both Cayucas and Morro Bay that they would be willing to look at the box bounded by the sludge drying beds and trailer storage. There's actually an attachment or an exhibit that's on the table at the back of the room that outlines that area. So tonight's meeting, we came back to the JPA meeting to see if we can get consensus by both the Sanitary District Board and the City of Morro Bay Council on, A, allowing us to analyze the area that's inside that box bounded by the sludge drying beds, and B, to reaffirm their approval of an oxidation ditch with filtration as the desired project alternative. With that, I think I'll turn it over to Rob Livick, who is our city engineer, and he was instrumental in working with Wallace Group on the flood analysis.
Thank you, Bruce. Good evening, board and council. My name is Rob Livick. I'm the city engineer for the City of Morro Bay, also the floodplain administrator for the city. Like Bruce said, we hired an engineering consulting firm to help us with our flood analysis for the wastewater treatment plant EIR. I put up exhibit on the overhead here that shows sort of the flood regime that occurs in Morro Creek. It occurs in Morro Creek when the flows exceed about 3,500 CFS or about a 10-year storm. So what happens is the water comes out of the creek just upstream of the Main Street Bridge. The outcome of the study, as Bruce indicated, was there were several alternative studies, probably 12, 15, 20, somewhere in there, ranging from constructing a flood wall around the entire plant or raising it, putting it on elevated fill, to relocating to the south where the sludge drying beds are and the trailer close to the trailer storage. The problem with basically building a flood wall around the entire plant that was kind of talked about in the facility's master plan is that it causes us to increase the flooding on our neighboring properties, which would be against our FEMA's regulations and the city's own flood damage prevention regulations. So that really was an option without looking at some other mitigating factors. We looked at perhaps the bridge is a capacity problem upstream there. If we replace the bridge, would that help us? No, it still doesn't get us out of problem. We basically would have to drastically increase the capacity in the Morro Creek Channel, which probably wasn't going to happen. So we settled on the alternative to be studied in the AR of moving the treatment processes to the south onto higher ground that is not as it's still within the floodplain, but is not as an impact to the surrounding properties. Also, one of the alternatives to deal with that slight impact due to still being in with the floodplain is to reconstruct Atascadero Road with an inverted crown, allowing the water to better escape to the west. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions with that time. When the time comes, sorry.
Let's go ahead and have Bruce give his presentation first.
Thank you, Mr. President, directors, and Madam Chair, and council members. Bruce Ambo, Public Services Director. All I really was going to do is follow up. If we can, Rob, if you can switch that up and show the area that we would, we're recommending that you define as the project. And if you will, we've identified a box that's underscored in that blue line, the heavy line that Rob is identifying on the outside. So what this gives us the flexibility to do in the environmental impact report is analyze all alternatives for designing the plant within that area. And in this way, we have that as the project area by sliding it slightly south. We get it out of the flood flow path. We also believe that the project in this condition, in this location, this environment will be a more environmentally benign or superior environmental benefit with the project than without the project, because we will have mitigated many of those impacts that Rob Leivick, our city engineer, identified that exist now by handling that flood flow down Atascadero Road. The other thing that we'd like to do after we've defined or redefined the project description, if you will, and enclosed it within this area of analysis and the correct information and respond to these comments and where necessary and beneficial and accurate, modify the document to sharpen the analysis and the impact report. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But again, our recommendation is simply to describe the project within this box and assign a method of treatment in the oxidation ditches. And we from the past meetings, we understand from a design perspective, you'd like to minimize the southerly extension of the facilities and also the easterly extension to minimize impacts on the adjoining properties everywhere within that box, and we will certainly do so when we get into the design phase. If you have any questions, be happy to answer them.
Any questions of Bruce from the council or the board? All right. With that, we're going to open this for public comment. Keep in mind what Bruce just said was our goal tonight is to identify that somewhere in that rectangle we're going to build a new treatment plant. I'd ask you to try to keep your comments to 3 minutes to allow time for anyone else, a number of people who might like to speak. John Barta.
There, how's that? Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, Madam Mayor, members of the council. My name is John Barta, and I'm here tonight to speak about perspective. Specifically, is 99.9993% of perfection good enough? I've given each of you a large sheet of paper. Please, if you could take a look at that. It's gray. Notice that it's the gray sheet of paper. And if you look real carefully at that sheet of paper, and it's kind of hard in this light, I realize that. But if you look real close, you'll see that it's not really gray. It's a bunch of tiny little dots. Actually, it's 1 million dots on that piece of paper. And what that represents is the sewage feed going into our sewage treatment plant. And if you would now turn the paper over, you'll see that I've handily put a little blue arrow on the back there. Yeah, and I have extra copies if anybody else wants to see this. And that arrow, if you look real carefully near the end of that arrow, you will see 7 tiny little dots. Now, what that represents, what this piece of paper represents, is the before and after of secondary treatment. Secondary treatment removes 999,993 of those particles, leaving those 7 particles there. Now, my question is, do we need to get rid of 2 more of those particles? Because when you get rid of 2 more of those particles, that's tertiary treatment, okay? Tertiary treatment at the low-cost alternative is $2 million, okay? So we get all of this bang for our buck on the front side with secondary treatment alone. Do we really need to spend $2 million more to get 2 more of those dots off of there? And if you want to go to membrane tertiary, then just bump that number up to $9 million for those 2 more dots. You only get it down to 5 on a dock out there, and it's got about 35 sea lions on it. And my question is, those sea lions are swimming inside our bay every day. How much untreated, undisinfected pollution do those 35 sea lions put into our bay every day? That's the other piece of the perspective. Thank you.
Honorable board members, friends, and friends at home, Sandra Brazil representing the Ocean Outfall Group. You're doing a great job. I believe you're on the right track. To quote from Will Rogers, even when you're on the right track, if you sit still, you're going to get hit by a train. We appreciate all the progress you've made, and now is not the time to sit on your laurels. As you may know, the Ocean Outfall Group, along with Heal the Bay and NRDC, just stopped the last 301H waiver in California that San Diego held. That upgrade is costing them $1.5 billion, so count your blessings for a $28 million upgrade. Morro Bay and Cayucas upgrade, like San Diego, is not much of a price tag as a market correction due to deferred maintenance. And the ocean is not a garbage pail, which brings me to the final point. That's not just sewage you're dumping. It's water, precious, valuable, and growing ever more scarce. I urge you to listen to the members of Surf Rider Foundation and make this investment a lasting one that goes beyond mere secondary treatment to tertiary with a water reuse component. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Bill Martini. Yeah, I think I'll follow up also on the recycling of the water. I agree that it's more expensive to bring it to tertiary. And I've been talking probably about the last year, the need of the farmers behind Morro Bay. They're running shy on water right now. And one thing a lot of people aren't aware of, there's actually a delivery system or there's a water pipeline from PG&E about 3 miles inland that could deliver that water right this, you know, as far as Purple Pipe, it's in place right now. But your wells are secondary, have secondary water rights to the agriculture people. They have what's known as riparian water rights. And if their wells start getting shy, you actually have to shut down the pumping on your wells. And that's actually happening right now. So the big onus on actually doing tertiary treatment is, number one, you have a closed system. You ship the water to the avocado growers, the different farmers in the area. That percolates back into the system, comes back in, and it's a closed cycle. You're not dumping over 1 million gallons of water a day out in the ocean. It doesn't have to do with the cleanliness of the water. It has to do with the reuse of the water. Back in the 1850s, they said whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. We're getting there. And this water, to actually dump it in the ocean when it's that close to being reused for irrigation, that is a sin. I think as far as the actual location, when you're moving this sewer plant sideways, you're actually building a brand new sewer plant here than where the existing plant is. That 100-year floodplain is 6 to 7 feet. So it doesn't matter if you move it sideways, if you're 2 foot higher, you're still going to get blown out in the ocean. So you might consider, if you're starting brand new, to look at a different location that is not prime oceanfront real estate. And also the last caveat on this is, now with a new plant, you have to go through the whole coastal permitting process. And they're going to be the 800-pound gorilla. So you might think about a new type of water system in a new location. It's just a thought. But number one, go slow. Get some of the new technology and the new information so that we can make a wise decision, because if we do it this time, we want to do it right. And the farmers have actually, they need the water, and they need it now, and the delivery system is there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I'd like the speakers to keep in mind that our subject is to identify that rectangle and to then proceed to include that rectangle in the EIR. That's really our holdup right now. Once that rectangle is identified, says we're going to build the plant in that rectangle. And Bruce, could you leave the rectangle up there for us? I think that's the subject tonight. And our goal is to be able to move the EIR forward. And at that time, then the EIR can become a public document. And then I think that would be a more appropriate time to take up a number of these other issues. Next speaker, please.
Mr. Ernst, excuse me, personal privilege. We're identifying location, but aren't we also supposed to be identifying the project, which would include what goes in that box?
I'm sorry, yes. Our goal was to reaffirm the ox ditch and the filtration. I think that was the direction we were given.
Yes. Good afternoon. My name is Robert Stoller. With your permission, I would like to discuss my background. I've been in reclamation agriculture in the last 53 years, been in the Midwest and California and the Middle East. I know about water and what water means in reclamation. And one of the things I think that we have to bear in mind is the value of water that can be used for irrigation and reclamation. Now, you have a valuable asset that's being wasted, and that waste is very costly in terms of the alternative benefit of this water that could be brought back into the area and used economically and effectively. And I think that this is one of the most important things to understand, that this has a value. We farmers in the Morro Basin and in the Villa Creek Basin and every one of these other, whether it's the San Bernardo Creek or Toro Creek, there's a value to this water. Now, right now we're paying PG&E a lot of money to pump water from our vertical wells. This water brought to the surface and brought up into these canyons, every one of these basins, these riparian basins, at ground level would save us a tremendous amount of energy. And that energy, of course, is part of the conservation importance that all of us look for, how much less energy we have to use, whether it's electrical energy or however. So if this is brought up on these easements that come up in every one of these cams right now, this is tertiary treatment is not rocket science anymore. So I think that you have to bear that in mind, and there's a tremendous economic value to this water. Don't forego it. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Dana Putnam, and I'm a Morro Bay resident and homeowner. I have five areas I'd like to comment on, first being the 100-year flood zone, second, water reclamation, third, energy generation, fourth, biosolids, and fifth, alternative technology. In relation to the 100-year flood zone, I am directly addressing the issue related to tonight's talk, and I think you need to consider the possibility of not just moving the plant over 100 yards and up a few feet, but re-engineering the area. I heard there was a brief mention of the creek not holding or not considering using that as a way to remove the flood zone water. But the area around the cloisters was completely re-engineered to manage water flow. And so I think that rather than move it and lose the current advantages of the current site, it would be something that I would urge you to consider if it couldn't actually be moved to a better location. Water reclamation, I think, has been addressed, and I agree with that area, and I think it's important that we at least consider designing a plant that would allow for future reclamation, if not current reclamation. Something I haven't heard anything about that could be put into the plant and it could be part of partnering with other areas is energy generation. There's cogeneration plants that are used. Avenal State Prison has a cogeneration plant on site. They generate energy out of waste. We could also generate energy out of waste. And then the biosolids, if we keep this current location, we could keep the beds. We don't have to truck off the waste. We could continue to generate fertilizer. And then the alternative technology area, I just wanted to bring up the possibility of considering something with a smaller footprint, such as the possibility of the membrane batch reactor or MBMR technology, which although I know that you've gone quite a ways in terms of the process on this, but that is something that with competitive bidding you may find that cost is much less than anticipated. Of course, I'm speculating there. So I would like to close with just an encouragement to say that, you know, we have an opportunity now that we're not going to have again for decades, and that we should consider something that, at a minimum, allows for future water reclamation, energy generation, and use of biosolids. Thank you.
My name is Joan Carter. I'm from Morro Bay. I know there is the cost factor that's big for many people, but I'm willing to pay more for an environmentally designed system. And I have been many times over the years to Coastal Commission hearings, and I know that their number one criteria is always, does it damage the wildlife? And that's the way that it should be. So I am saying that tertiary is just not enough. It needs to be tertiary into reclamation. That way you keep the ocean cleaner and it's reusable.
And the sense out of these meetings is what's the economic impact going to be to me, and I can understand that. But I think we also have can I get the images that I gave you folks? Are they up there? I think there's an issue in the past that I think is really critical. I thought it was fascinating. I wasn't on our commission when the planning for this facility came forward, but there were You've probably seen him, Rob. I'm not sure. The first one I want to show you about the past is a lot of us haven't lived here for a very long time. This is from 1954 when one of the storms cut a path through the sand spit and actually there was consideration to block off the other side of the channel at the rock in order to allow this one to be maintained. Can you go to the next one, please? This is about 1930, the early 1930s, after the first portion of the seawall was constructed off of the rock. And what you can see here through this area is the trace of Old Morro Creek as the effluent used to be at the north end of the bay. You can also see up here that by the 1930s, the effluent was now out to the ocean. If you can want to go to the next one, please. And when I was looking at some of the historic, you want to rotate it 90 degrees, there we go. I was looking at some of the historic ecology when I was on the New Futures Task Force for the power plant several years ago. I came across some of the 1880s survey work. And in the 1880s, you can see that Morro Creek emptied into the north part of the bay. And this is because in trying to research this a bit, there was another storm event about in the 19-teens that cut a path through the primary dune system just north of where the creek is now. And so we've had two 50-year events that have done some pretty amazing damage to this area. So when I hear the idea that we've got a 10-year floodplain problem, you know we've got a 50-year floodplain problem. You know we've got a worse 100-year floodplain problem. So as much as in the present, I'd like to say there is an economic cost to doing everything we can to mitigate these issues, the past proves that we have some pretty significant issues to deal with. And I would say the thing about the future is, When you start to marry on these concepts of water reclamation, the ability to help continue successful farming in the area, which is probably our next area that's going to be under attack after our fishing and recreational interests, I think we have nothing but optimism in putting forward the resources necessary for tertiary, for reclamation, for bioremediation of the waste products, and really doing the right thing. So as much as I'd like to accept the box, I'm afraid the box still isn't going to be good enough. Thanks.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Doug.
Good evening. I'm Piper Riley from Los Osos. I moved to this area about 4 or 5 years ago, and being from Los Osos, immediately got hit with an NOV from the Water Board and started doing research about wastewater and our water in this area. And it seems like we have a lot in common in all our communities, and we need to communicate with one another a whole lot more to let each other know what's going on. We need to become sustainable. You have a situation here with your rectangle. I know you seem to be very attached to your rectangle, but it seems to be in a really bad location. A prime area to do a great variety of things for your community other than to deal with your waste. In Los Osos, we've been looking at low-impact solutions, and one of the things that we found out that for treatment, the simplest thing to do is a pond, a passive pond. You can even add aeration. They're extremely inexpensive. You can do tertiary treatment. They have local companies here who do it, so you'd be providing local jobs. They basically eat sludge. You'll eliminate your sludge problem completely. I would say absolutely. Look into the technologies that exist. If you're having to move your location out further, you're going to have more pipeline. Look into low-pressure systems, vacuum. They're very inexpensive, again. They're 100% sealed, very effective. One of the things that we do really have in common here in the county is that we have a huge problem with mismanagement of resources. We have over-engineering of projects, and we have a lot of sole sourcing. Using Cleath, Corello, Montgomery Watson, all the time is not going to bring us the best projects. If you look at the CMC, the Corollo project there is really not very wonderful. One of the things I had an opportunity to do was to go around and look at various treatment plants, went up to Monterey, CMC, went to the ponding in San Miguel and Templeton, and there's no odor with the ponds at all. But if you go to the conventional treatment plants, you not only have the visual impact, you also have the sound and the smell. So it's another wonderful thing that the ponds eliminate. And you could put solar on top of your ponds, doubling your footprint. All in all, you then would end up a tertiary. You need to keep your water. To put it out in the ocean should be a sin. your farmers need it. Ag exchange is a wonderful thing that a lot of places are doing now and we really need to embrace. Finally, conservation, reuse. I mean, those should be number one. Thank you.
Hello, good evening. I'll keep this short. I'm not going to say too much, much different than what's already been said, but this looks like a really large investment for the community, and I know you've been spending a lot of time on this, and you want to get it over with, but there's some better options out there, so please consider opening this up for new ideas. You don't have to spend any money on it. Just let companies bid and present other alternatives. It may save money, and maybe you gain more things. Because this plan looks like you lose. You don't gain anything. So, thanks.
Could you state your name for the record,
please? Oh, my name is Zach Stowasser. Thank you.
To the ocean outfall, as everyone has already said. Seems to be a consensus of opinion here about the ocean outfall. Wasting all that water that can be used and pumped inland and ponded, just spread it out, slow it down, spread it out, and sink it, because that's where it needs to be. We need to reuse that. It needs to go back in to feed our aquifers. That's pretty simple. We did write a letter. All of you got it. We recommend that you don't authorize pursuing the EIR as it is presently written. We also recommended that you look at the sludge treatment and production, as everyone else has already talked about. Treatment ponds, yes. Water reclamation and reuse, well, the Coastal Commission is going to look at that as a mitigating factor in your decision. So you might as well look at that up front and decide to deal with it now rather than later. Sea level rise, well, we already talked about that. The Coastal Commission is going to be looking for you to mitigate to at least a 5-foot rise in sea level, not a 3-foot rise. That all being said, just say no to the box and no ocean outfall. Thank you.
Good evening again. My name is Marla Jo Bruton, and I'm speaking for New Water for Peace, and we're new in the area here. I would just like to, first of all, thank everyone in this room for showing up. I've been the lone soldier citizen at most of these JPA meetings. If I was at every one that I could track down, unless they were wily enough to slip it past me. It took a lot of work to find out when they were, so I can empathize with Mr. Clausen here, because I've been tracking this for the last 5 years. So, that said, I would like to remind the JPA and the folks here that California is now in the third year of severe drought. The governor has, set out a resolution proclaiming severe drought in this state. Our water, freshwater resources are under attack. We don't have rain to add water to the basin of water that we do have. The National Environmental Pollution Act of 1969, which is called NEPA, was set up to help address one of the primary reasons that it was set up was the collection systems and wastewater treatment plants and their relationship to flooding and releasing pollutants into the ocean. That's as far as coastal states are concerned, or coastal communities. So what we have here is about 40 years of if you want to do this right for the citizens and put away your whatever your ideas about thrift or it seems to be all about the money here. I would really ask you to delve into the whole arena of clean water and what that means to the environment and to the public. I think we've had a disservice here with the foot dragging that's occurred and the closed curtains, as we have behind you. Basically, the JPA has been operating with closed curtains for the public to view. So once again, I'm extremely happy to see all of you here, and thank you for sharing your concerns with this board. And I say that this the floodplain issue here has been well known by everybody in this room. I mean all the staff people, all the engineers, Corolla, Wallace, Boyle, everybody. It's a 100-year tsunami zone. They knew all this when they began their design process several years ago. And there was a waterfall chart that was set up for this project. One of the first things was the EIR studies. But no, what did the staff and Corolla do? They rushed ahead with design. And Marla, got us into this Marla, little rectangle box.
Could I ask you to conclude,
yeah,
please? Thank you.
Set us up tonight in this little rectangle box with the big, the big realization that we have a flood zone problem. So you guys can do better than that, please.
Good evening. Thanks for having us. My name is Maggie Ragatz. I'm a Morro Bay resident and small business owner. And in terms of the blue box, I agree. I think we can do something that's more successful for our communities. I think that our communities, especially now, need success, and I don't think this box spells it for us. I don't think what's contained in the box is success. If we're to believe history, and I think that we are, we're always going to have to shoot higher in terms of standards for clean water and for clean air, taking care of our oceans. And I think we have the opportunity. We have the creative resources that are in this room, your creative resources along your board, to excel those standards before we're asked to meet them. I think we have the financial resources to try and stand head and shoulders above our California community in terms of taking care of our resources, our natural resources. You have the time, you have the money, you have the creativity. I want to support you in thinking, sorry to say it, but thinking outside of this box. and I'll finish with that. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Lindy Owen from Los Osos again. She stole my line, but that was fog line. You have nothing but open design potential out there, and it's not like we're forced to live in the past anymore. We really do need to move away from the ponding systems are ideal, and they need sun, so they need to be inland. And if you have no sludge to haul, you've saved yourself a lot of money. So spend the money to do it right, and you will save money in the long run. And I don't know how else to say it. I've heard some wonderful speakers, and I think you really do have an opportunity. I hope you take it.
Evening Board, Ben DeFatter, Los Osos. We heard that you were having a sewer problem here, and we came here to help you. Apparently, you're not interested in saving money. Despite the economy is in bad shape, and most of the people here are on fixed incomes, you want to spend $28 million? I bet you could save $20 million. You ought to get rid of the 2,000-year-old treatment plant that Nero was using in Rome 2,000 years ago. It's brown, it stinks, and the technology is very old. There's nobody bringing water down from the Alps anymore. It's an insane decision to waste this water in the ocean instead of saving it. It's such a scarcity of water these days. It's so insane. Ag exchange, get away. The plant should be away from the ocean, number one. The sewer project should be away from the ocean. That's insane, too. Now, studying all the ecoflows, and the best one I've come up with, and Ms. Marla, she has one, too. Ecofluid Corporation, for 1 million gallons a day, costs $9 million. Uses the least amount of energy. It's green, a small footprint, no smell, and included is tertiary treatment. Hardly any sludge. Maybe in a few years you'll get an inch of it. I urge you to look at alternatives. You'll find they are green and affordable, and that's what the people that have been loaning the money will be looking at. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. President and directors and council members. I'm Andrew Christie. I'm director of the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club. Sierra Club and the NRDC, as stakeholders with long-term involvement in this project, would have appreciated being informed of the significant changes afoot in a timely fashion and having had time to review the flood hazard reports with our independent technical advisors. We were not, and we have not, and we still have not been notified, having learned of these proposed changes in tonight's meeting informally. A project without your current and expected sludge handling capacity is a different project. This mandates a reconsideration of oxidation ditch treatment for all the reasons and potential environmental and economic benefits that we outlined in our comments sent to you last night. Also worth noting is the fact that an ox ditch will not only aggravate the sludge problem you are now faced with, it is a state-of-the-art water conservation and local stormwater capture are the solutions for sustainable and equitable water management in the 21st century, end quote. What applies to their estuary applies to our estuary, and the county has recently taken many of these prescriptions to heart in the Moving the Los Osos Wastewater Project forward. You have the opportunity to do likewise. The emergency the state is trying to grapple with in the Sacramento Delta is a graphic illustration of the sooner rather than later imperative that you should apply to the plant's upgrade to full tertiary treatment. We are in a drought. It's not getting better. Recycled water is the name of the game. That means tertiary, not secondary. There have been significant changes proposed for this project. Take the time you should to review your options. 60 days would be perfectly reasonable. This time, please instruct staff to keep us informed so that you can get the public input you need as part of your decision-making process. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Lon Perlman. I live in Los Osos. You were going to go tertiary no matter what. You do have to reuse your water. I had a list of things that I could tell you about my qualifications. Let's just say that anybody who predicts something three times and is sequentially right is an expert. So I would recommend you go to a triangle. Think outside the box used up. Do not pound a round peg into a square hole. 100-year flood zones. We are in global warming. It is absolutely clear that in the life of this new project, 30 years, the 100-year floods are going to show up every 50 years. The 50-year floods are going to show up every 25 years. And I did submit, as did many of the people behind me, to the Los Osos EIR. I also predicted within my submission that if Los Osos did not go to tertiary in their design, the regulatory agencies would not allow it, and that in itself would cause delays. As many others, I had predicted the exact changes that would have to happen to their project, and those exact changes were later put in through the process of the Coastal Commission, because you are in a push-me-pull-me. The regulatory agencies respond to EIRs. If you do not predict the project that will be acceptable to those regulatory agencies, you're going to end up very much like Los Osos. So learn the lessons from Los Osos. Back out. Do it right. Do it right the first time. I guess it's time. Well, I'll just tell you a little bit about myself because I have a little more time left. Meanwhile, you could try and connect a million dots. Back to the regulatory game. I would like to say to the public, learn about this. Become educated. It's your money. And you get the best value of your money if you convert your waste back into water. That's the key. I was at the EPA meeting originally several years ago. If you want to blame somebody from outside of town, I was one of many people who made this project tertiary. I did it because the Water Board presented some data. They had some very beautiful charts and graphs, multicolored charts and graphs. They were talking about the relative level of... And I think that should do it. Thank you very much. Good luck. But do delay. Do it right the first time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks very much for an opportunity to talk with you tonight. I have nothing to add to what you've heard already other than to say, look at this room. These people care about this issue, and they will care about this issue tomorrow and the next day and next week and 20 years from now or 40 years from now. And that's the message that we're here to send you tonight, is you have an opportunity. This is an opportunity to do something good, and not only do something good, but do something great. So I would really ask you to take to heart what you've heard tonight. There are experts galore who can tell you the things that I wouldn't begin to understand. But please, look at these citizens, listen to these citizens, and do the right thing. Do what we've elected you to do, please. Thank you.
Could you state your name, please?
I'm Jane Heath, and I am a resident of Morro Bay.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dawn Feuerberg, and I'm a resident of Morro Bay, small business owner and mother of two. And I'm just so proud of the people in this room. There is so much passion here, and I really thank all of you coming out and talking about this issue. 3 years ago, I was very passionate about the nitrate issue that we had and the dangers that it had caused for our community, our children, our babies. And I've been busy raising my own kids. But to come here tonight is just truly inspiring. And I'm so proud to be a part of this community. And I hope that you can see here that the people here really care. And they're really trying to reach out to you, you the decision makers. And what they're saying is so important. It's important to our generations today and the generations to come. And we really want a sustainable community. My children want the sustainable community that you can provide for them. So thank you so much for coming out and listening, and I hope that you reconsider the box. Thank you.
Good evening, members of the JPA. My name is Allison Ford. I'm the new director of the Otter Project. As you may remember, we've been stakeholders in the waste treatment plant for quite some time now. We've advocated for a speedier upgrade to tertiary in the process with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. We just became aware of the new findings as to the rectangle issue in the floodplain just last week, Friday, day before Labor Day weekend as well, so we haven't had a chance to really closely review the findings. But it came to our attention that there might be a concern based on the fact that groups such as the Otter Project have pushed for upgrades with no more delay. So I really wanted to come and say that we have opposed delay for delay's sake. However, in light of the new findings, that's a lot of new information. The community has all sorts of ideas about ways to make this plant environmentally sustainable. That's something that we as the environmental community really want to see. And we're in agreement with the Sierra Club and the NRDC that it would definitely be worth an additional 60 days to consider fully all the alternatives, including other technologies, off-site locations.
Hello, my name is Jerry Luer, and I just wanted to say that it seems like you have a 5, 10, and 1,500-year flood problem with this site. You have an opportunity here to solve an area-wide problem. The floodplain is not just on this site, but is through this area. You can use this to solve, basically by channelizing the runoff, the creek. you can solve the flood problem for this and the rest of the sites. So it's an area problem. And if you expand your view out a little bit, you may be able to take an easier solution to this. And I also wanted to just mention that I grew up in El Cajon, which is right next to Santee, and they've been using a ponding system out there, and now they don't even realize it's a ponding system. It's basically their park system, and that's where they have all their ball fields, and people go out and picnic out there. So, but the main thing I wanted to just say was I think you can solve the floodplain problem a lot cheaper than $28 million, and then you'll get benefits for the rest of the community in that area. Thanks.
My name is Michael Durick from Morro Bay. I'd just like to piggyback on what Mr. Luhr said about Santee. And there's one more component around those series of lakes, and that's an RV park. And I challenge you to try to get a reservation in there. It's one of the most sought-after places in San Diego County to go camping in the east part of the county. It's beautiful. And it has been in operation. Well, I lived there 26 years, and I've been here 12, and it was in operation a long time before I got to San Diego. So the other thing I'd like to leave you with is also along the lines of what John Barta talked about, and that's perspective. We have to trust you to do the right thing for us. And I just want to point out to you, I don't mind giving you the money as long as you do the right thing with it. And to put it in perspective, our sewer bill this month was 3 times our electric bill. That's not our water bill. That was our sewer portion of the water bill. It was 2.5 times our gas bill. So we're just one household. We're paying you guys a lot of money. So please spend it wisely. Thank you.
Anyone else? Let me ask if staff has any comments that they'd like to include at this time before we turn it over to the council and the board. Bruce? Dylan? Bill? David?
I just want to make a comment regarding where we are in the process. I think what gets a little lost, I'm David Hirsch. I'm with Carmela Nakasha. We represent the Cayuga Sanitary District. At the August 11th meeting, the decision that was being sought was to get approval of this box, which keeps being referred to. And the Cayucas District wanted to have some time to look at it, have the technical committee meet and respond to some questions. That's been accomplished. And by moving this forward, it will get the EIR process moving forward, which will provide an opportunity for the public to comment on the EIR. The EIR process, of course, requires that those comments be responded to. So this really needs to just stay moving forward, and that's basically the legal perspective as far as this process.
Thank you, David. Okay, I'd like to make a couple of comments before we turn it over to the Morro Bay Council. As David had said, we've been at this for approximately 4 years now. Our concern here is simply that we need to get something to go in the EIR so that the EIR can be released to the public, so then we can discuss the full gamut of the items in the EIR. We heard a lot about reclamation this evening. Reclamation was not on the agenda this evening, so we've been polite and allowed you to discuss it in detail. Unfortunately, we cannot respond to that, but I will say that, and David Stringfield, correct me if I'm wrong, David's with Carollo. Did we not include in our original direction to you that our goal was to include the filtration so that we would have tertiary water, and then we could look at reclamation and what we could do with that water. Okay, I just wanted to make that clear to everyone that I think we're on the page with all of you. We are looking at reclamation. We're trying to set up a plant that makes reclaimed water available for use. We have not looked at what we're going to use it for. It looks like there's a lot of people out here that are interested in it, and that certainly is a good thing. So by designating this box as a place where we're going to make the tertiary water, we can move forward, get the EIR out to you, and then really, in better fashion, receive the comments that you made this evening. We're kind of in an awkward position tonight because we really can't discuss many of the things that you suggested because they're not on our agenda. If they're significant enough and we need to do that, then we would agendize those items and have another meeting.
Excuse me. We were all very polite and listened to your comments. Now, would you please listen to ours politely as well? Thank you.
Okay, at this point, I'm going to ask for comments from the Morro Bay City Council. Mayor Peters?
Questions or comments? Betty?
I have several questions that the speakers inspired, so I'll ask those. I'd like to start off by saying that I don't believe we're looking at starting over. We've done a lot of research.
City Morro Bay. We have done design build in the past. We're not currently using design build for this project. Using design build can enable you to have a time savings, but it doesn't always.
Okay. So we could look at that if we want to, but we're not doing it right now.
Correct. That's okay. An alternative delivery method. It wouldn't have actually any impact. It's contracting method, and so you go that would come in after the EIR or later in the process. So you go, any choice you make tonight won't impact that ability.
Okay. My next question is about, they were mentioning about the creek and if that could be engineered. Should I assume that you looked at trying to do that and became kind of a environmental nightmare, or is that something that is plausible?
I think it's possible. Mm-hmm. Look at the LA River. You can engineer anything, but I'm not suggesting, nor would I ever suggest that we do that with Morro Creek, because that's really what it needs is to handle that flow capacity. It needs to be a smoother, wider creek. And the way you make it smoother and wider is heavy equipment and concrete. And I don't think that would be tenable in this environmental environment.
Okay. Thank you. My next question, I think I have 1, 2, 3, 4 more just to let you know I'm getting there. The whole point about doing it environmentally or regulatory now so we don't end up with appeals to the Coastal Commission, to the Water Board. Are we, I guess, Mr. Wade, is that your question? And I don't, maybe it's more of a statement, but I heard that question asked, are you preparing now so you don't have to go with those appeals? And I remember when we talked about the EIR process, building in enough months in case there was an appeal. And so how does that fit into the timeline?
I'd be happy to answer that for Dylan. Bruce Hambo, Public Services Director. We're expecting an appeal on any of these. Actually, in our opinion, this project could have been a candidate for a mitigated negative declaration. But in hindsight, looking at what we've been through, we're glad we went through this with an EIR. So that's why we were cautious and wanted to have a longer time frame. Mm-hmm. And we are pressed for time now. But we have figured in that we'll get appealed that things will take longer just because of this is the nature of how we seem to do business.
Okay. Thanks. Let's see, I said that. The question about moving it south was in order to elevate it. It was suggested, I think maybe even in the report, that even though we move it south, it's still going to have some elevation added. Is that true? And could you talk about that and what kind of cost that brings in?
It still does require fill. Our flood damage prevention regulations require that the structures be at least 1 foot above the 100-year water surface elevation. So there's still, on portions of that site, depending on how far south we move, probably up to 2-3 feet of fill.
So we actually will save $3 million in the project by approaching it from this methodology. So we originally held a $4 million contingency. We've now reduced that to about $1 million, which is what we think the impact will be.
Because you're still having to do fill, is that why just moving it is insufficient and we still have to do road work and culvert work, or are those separate items?
I'll touch on that, and then, Rob, feel free to jump in. The reason that we've selected the location that we did was based on the hydraulic model. What you'll find is on the west side of the sludge drying beds, there's an approximate 6-foot retaining wall, and then that dives down as it heads towards the north. What that wall does is, since the flood is a flowing condition, that wall already impacts that flood flow. And so you go, we can pull the plant into the south and take advantage of those pre-existing conditions, and that gives us an area that's effectively sheltered from the flood flows. So that's how the location was determined. The crowning of Atascadero Road, which is what I think you were asking about, actually what that does is it, and Rob, you can jump in here at any point if you feel the need, or if I get this wrong. What that does is that actually mitigates or minimizes the impact to the adjacent property owners. So that's the most significant, reasonable, area-wide improvement that was identified in this modeling process. As we went through and modeled a number of scenarios and determined that that was probably your most cost-effective off-site mitigation measure. So what that does is it effectively increases the area's ability to pass that flood. Unfortunately, because of the large watershed, you go, we're not going to be able to build the facility, the Los Angeles River 100-foot-wide concrete channel that would pass the entire flood. But what that will do is in the lower flooding events, the 5, the 10, the 25-year return periods, it will minimize the probability of flooding in the local drainage area.
Okay, I think I get that. This is about the ponds, and it may not, we haven't talked about ponds, and so I don't know if Mr. Carolla's team knows about ponds, and if they could talk about, it was mentioned that you can't just have ponds, the ponds have to have sun. So do you know anything about that or not? And it's okay if you don't. About ponds, about the ponding method, that it was mentioned that you can't just have ponds, but the ponds have to have sun in order for them to work. And I don't know if you're familiar with that technology and if we have enough sun to do that.
You need a flow path. Dave Stringfield, Crowlo Engineers. The pond systems, number one, require a very large area, so you wouldn't be able to put it on this site. It would be another site like these people have suggested. They do need some, you know, more sunlight, the better, to work. And they, contrary to what you've heard, they have not had a high degree of success in providing tertiary treatment, on a wide range of treatment plants. They've worked in some locations. So it would require a new site, a very large site, to put ponds in.
Thank you. That's the last of my questions.
Other questions from council?
We found that it would cost several million dollars to do a minor reclamation project, which would entail irrigating portions of the high school field, Kaiser Park, and some localized kind of to Atascadero Road, providing some reclaimed water for those facilities. Since that study was prepared in 1999, a number of those facilities have actually gone and they're using a non-potable groundwater as their feed source. So that would make the economic realities of a localized reclamation project more challenging. What we've seen, recent bid numbers are actually fairly aggressive right now. It's a great bidding market. And so you go, costs for installation of facilities have dropped. I would estimate to run a pipeline all the way out to the park, it would cost you somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 to $150 a foot, okay, depending on depth and restoration conditions and the route that you chose.
And there was a suggestion of using some PG&E pipelines. Is that even feasible? And if so, if not, why not?
We don't own the pipeline or the right to it. You go, as far as permitting a reclamation project, you go, actually, a reclamation project is probably one of the easier things that we could permit through the Caltrans process. Being one of the easier things, so you go, we could look at shooting a pipe, let's say, all the way up Highway 41. You go, that would be something that would be easier to permit. That doesn't mean that it would be an easy project to permit. You go, it would be a difficult project. And frankly, in the time schedule that we've currently adopted, I just fundamentally don't believe that we could accomplish adding a reclamation component to this project. The direction that we originally received and that staff's been working on from this board is that, you know, we're building a tertiary treatment plant with an eye towards reclamation in the future. And so, you go, that's the direction that staff has taken and run with, which is that we ultimately do want to get to reclamation. You go, ultimately, this plant is a step in that direction. It doesn't get us all the way there.
Okay, before we do comments here, do you want to go for questions with Kayuk?
Actually, Janice, I did have a follow-up question from yours to Mr. Wade.
Okay.
Just to clarify, the idea of utilizing the old power plant pipeline to their tank farm property has not been analyzed by the JPA as an option.
No, it has not. We don't own that property or that pipeline easement. They do have an easement that runs from their parcel almost directly north, as I would describe it. It heads up kind of towards the cross Highway 1. It wouldn't really, portions of that project we could use potentially, you go from a technical or a feasibility standpoint, you could feasibly use portions of that pipeline in your project if you were trying to get reclaimed water up Highway 41. But we don't own that. We don't have rights to use that. And you go, frankly, I don't know what condition it is in either. So I don't anticipate that the benefit of trying to use that would save us much money in the long run.
And the follow-up question, as the project's presented to us right now, it appears that what we're presenting is not a progressive project as far as what a federal stimulus program or a grant program would be looking to support. And I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on the opportunity of the present project to qualify for any sort of additional outside funding.
It's hard to say. We've got a neighbor to the worst problems. And so I think our availability to get a big grant or a large amount of federal stimulus money is probably pretty slim.
As a project builds on sustainability features and items that address the challenges that the government wants to, government or non-governmental organizations want to see implemented and addressed, that could open up opportunities, though, for further grant options, especially if it's partnering with other groups outside of just Cayucas and Morro Bay, say the farming community or others within the area. Is that correct?
Correct. I mean, I think anytime, so for example, the city participates in the Water Resources Advisory Committee, which is the regional body that pursues water projects. We actually applied for a Proposition 50 grant for this project already. And so you go, certainly the more collaborative, the more sustainable your project, a lot of your grant programs do provide some points for doing that. But even saying that, I think there are a lot of communities out there that have a lot greater need than we do. And so no matter, I almost think it's not really, I don't think any course of action is going to make us make money fall from the sky for us. I don't think we're going to get a large amount of federal money, no matter what choice we make as far as a project alternative.
Just want to add one more thing about federal stimulus money. They're looking to spend that money in a very short time. For example, the transportation projects that we're looking at, they want to have plans and specs out to bid by March 12th of next year at the latest on those projects. So I don't think we're ready to put a project out to bid by March of next year.
Is that it with our questions? Okay.
Okay, Cayucas Board, any questions?
Uh, I would like to express my appreciation for so many folks showing up this evening and offering your input. We do appreciate it very, very much. I will tell you that my part in this has lasted a few years since I came on the Sanitary District Board, and frankly, I've not heard any new submissions in terms of how we might accomplish this project tonight. We've talked and talked and talked and talked about many, many technologies and about many, many approaches and about how we're going to pay for it and how soon we must do it. I would think that it would be appropriate, and I would believe that it would be a good idea to proceed with the environmental impact report and continue to receive your input and your ideas as we continue to move forward. But I am concerned. I do feel that we are in jeopardy of having some problems with fines and that sort of thing in the future if we don't move the project. Thank you.
Okay, Kaikus, want to make any other comments?
I've only been on the board since December of last year, and it's hard to go back and sort of look at decisions that were made in the past in a floodplain. And to simply say now we have to accept that because we're under time considerations, I think is a little circular logic. My other observation is, and it's, I'm not sure if I'm factually correct, but it seems that we kind of selecting the technology to fit the existing plant when now we find that the existing plant doesn't work and needs to be relocated. Yes, it may be the easiest thing to relocate it right adjacent to the existing plant, but it's still a relocation, and I guess I'm concerned that does that then open up the possibility of other technologies? And I must admit I don't know to what extent these were addressed in the 2007 facilities master plan, but I'm going to need more input on that before I think that I can move forward on this project. Thank you.
Okay. Mayor Peters, any comments from the Morro Bay Council?
Okay. All right. Comments? Rick?
Let me just preface what I'm going to say by saying I really want to do the right thing, and I want to do the right thing to you and your children and your children's children. I have nothing to gain by doing anything other than that. And I think I speak for the rest of the folks up here. When way back when we first started talking about this and the methods of treatment, we went and toured other treatment plants. And I can recall one time it was very vivid to me. I think it was the Pismo Beach plant, where we went there, and they're a secondary treatment plant. And they had a very large beaker of treated effluent. And way down in the bottom of the beaker, they had a tiny little speck. And that kind of hit home with me. And I looked at the difference between secondary treatment and tertiary treatment. And I thought, boy, you know, this secondary treatment's really come a long way. All we had to do by law was have good secondary treatment for our ocean outfall. And I thought, you know, this makes sense to me. But we had the public hearings. There was one person that came out in favor of secondary treatment. All the other people that we listened to wanted tertiary treatment. So I changed my mind because that's what it seemed people wanted, even though at a much higher cost. But I was certainly willing to do that because that's what folks wanted, and that's what they elected us for. the issue about the nitrates came out, its ability to the ratepayers to do the reasonable thing. The EIR that we're going to be going through is a very unpredictable process. This may come back and say, you know, you can't do this. This isn't going to work. But we need to give that EIR a chance. They're not going to cover up for us. And if we're going to discuss methods of tertiary treatment, the membrane issue bothers me because it takes such high energy to run these things. We may not have that, feel the effect of that in Morro Bay, but somebody's going to feel it somewhere. So we can't just look out for our own little interests. We have to look out for everybody. Another thing that bothered me a little bit, because I thought there would be a real demand for it, was the reclamation. We did check with the avocado farmers. They were not interested. And that was a big disappointment to me, because I really want to go forward with the reclamation. As a matter of fact, I'm the one that said, let's plumb this thing so we can hook up the purple pipe to it and use it. And I still feel that way. I think reclamation is the way to go. So I will push for that. I think that I'm trying to be reasonable, and I'm trying to be a servant of my own conscience. I think that because of time constraints and everything else, we need to go ahead, approve this box, let the EIR go with it, see where it takes us. If it doesn't, I'm fine with certainly looking at if it's another location or whatever it may be. But let them, the people that watch over us in the environmental issues, let them tell us if this is going to work or if it's not going to work. But we as the elected officials can't sit and just keep things stagnant. We have to make decisions. And I think it's a reasonable decision to go ahead, approve the box, let these environmental people take a look at it, and see what they have to say.
Thank you, and thank you all for coming out tonight and for your correspondence over the last couple of weeks about the issue. It's really heartening to see this amount of public involvement, and I think we all can agree that a project is needed. That's something that's clear across the board, and in part, I do want to say tonight how much I personally appreciate the work that our treatment plant's crew has done over the last couple of years, because it's clear our plant is breaking down, and I personally, and I think the community realizes you've done an exemplary job. Itself, we are in a completely different situation than we were even 3 years ago, and because of that, and the results of the floodplain analysis, I hear what you're saying, Mr. Grantham, but I think we would be doing ourselves a disservice to move forward with this project as it's currently proposed. And I think it's our responsibility as the representatives to adjust our policy and direct our staff to identify reclamation as the primary goal and outcome of this project, and give ourselves the time to do the evaluation that is needed to look at our options, which there are many, and some have been looked at before, but we are in a new time, so I think they're worth reevaluating, and some have not been analyzed that offer a lot of promise and excitement for me personally and for the community, and I think we owe it to ourselves to do that now. My concern with the process as it's laid out is if we initiate this EIR, we are essentially proceeding down the path with major red flags behind us, and we will only come up against problems as we get further into this with more money and resources and time, and ultimately when we get to the Coastal Commission,
the things that they are prioritizing for us to address, like biosolids management and addressing climate change and hopefully reclamation, those are going to be shoved back in our face, and we're going to find ourselves back at this point. And I think at this point, if we can take some time to analyze our options more closely, authentically do that, and come up with some alternatives, we would be doing ourselves a service and ultimately saving time in the long run. I think it's been really appreciated that some of the organizations that have been advocating for an expedient timeline have come forward tonight to really stress the importance of doing the project right over the timeline. And I would hate to be held to an artificial, in some ways, timeline when we have some really great opportunities. And I would hope that the regional board would especially realize this, especially considering the potential of this water and its reuse within the farming community and overall within our own aquifer. So I really would express to the rest of the board my hope that we will adjust our policy, or at least set a meeting where we could consider an adjustment of policy and really prioritize reclamation as the main goal, with a clear review of some alternatives that are that are interesting to us. And I'll reserve further comments for later. Thank you.
That's all the comments. I think I appreciate everybody being here also. I know it's getting late, and there's been a lot of great ideas shared tonight as far as options and opportunities, which is certainly what we've all been looking at and considering as we've had an opportunity to have this envelope open back up because of the need to change. And I think that it's all about, for me, trying to find a balance between the environmental options and the cost to it all. So I appreciate that where they've evaluated this and looked at it, although I know some would prefer to have the reclamation up front, which would certainly be more beneficial.
Just a question. Am I interpreting your comments to say that you want biosolids and that kind of stuff to be part of this box or not?
No, I'm saying that's included in this document.
So you're saying pass this. You would wait for that. Okay. I think for me, if we want to talk costs first, we don't know how much this project's going to cost. There's a number of moving parts, and we've got a general idea that there's going to be maybe $36 million. If we went with the MBR inside this box, it would be $28 million if we went with MBR inside this box. But we don't know how much the cost is if it's not inside that box. And so I feel like we haven't been given alternatives. We've been given the box with three things inside that box. So for me, that's not alternatives. So I'd like to see that finished and see what the other options are. And I'm going to take to heart the community's expression, which I hear, that is the cost is secondary to the environmental, that they're willing to go with the extra $9 million, whether it's that much or even less, or to get, because we haven't figured into that, that's only physical plant is my understanding. That does not include the cost of selling the water to farmers up 41. That doesn't include if we don't have to do the sludge thing over to the valley or someplace else. And when I hear in an email that there's farmers up 41 that are pumping usually 68 feet per minute in their well, but now it's 6 feet per minute, they're hurting. And so I don't see how we cannot go with that kind of concern, because that's our larger community. And we have to partner. We can't be just about us, just about Cayucas. We have to see the bigger region. And that's where I'm coming from. And so I agree that in the last 3 years, things are totally different than when we started down this and approved this path. Our costs are based on 2006 costs, I believe, still. And that the way that the construction work has gone the last few years, that concrete's gone up, alternative energy sources have come down, and I don't know what that looks like because we haven't been given those figures. So I don't know if we aren't, again, don't really have a better product for going better environmentally than if we didn't. Said that, I am kind of the tour thing. You know, I appreciate that Los Osos came and talked about that, because the tours that we took were actually of similar plants. You know, Pismo, CMC, San Luis actually was the most different, conventional. So it's we've been kind of limited in what we've seen. I guess my last statement will be that I did take the liberty of calling the Regional Water Quality Control Board today and talked to their only their staff person, not the big guy, not the board, but at least the staff person was receptive to, if we want to do a better project, i.e. reclamation, and or we've had a big red flag come up in our EIR support or study, that they're sensitive to that. And they're not going to go off and penalize us because something's happened to us that we can't.
Forced into by environmental organizations, many of whom are represented here, saying, you can do it, you can do it, you have to do it. We cut the time from 14 years to 8 to satisfy those demands. And now you're saying, oh, well, a couple of months isn't a big deal. It's not going to be a problem. We're not going to get fined. You want to bet? And who's going to pay the fines? We're probably not even going to be here at that point. You know, we'll have gone our ways. But our ratepayers are going to pay them. And I'm sorry, Betty, but you voted against the rate increase to pay for the project we already have under consideration.
No, what I voted for was increasing for the infrastructure that comes along with that. Remember that our ratepayers now are not paying for this plant yet.
Right.
It's for the infrastructure.
Okay. So we do it without infrastructure. The point is, it's going to be the ratepayers that are going to pay for it. And I'm sorry, but $150 per foot for purple pipe, $792,000 a mile. How many miles up 41 do we have to go to use that water? Who's going to pay for that? That's incredibly expensive. That's why we said no when we originally went into this project. We did look at reclamation. We did want to use it. We wanted to use it for the golf course. And we realized there was no way we could get it there under any kind of financially responsible circumstance. So that's why we said, okay, make it available. Make it something we can do down the line when maybe there is somebody who's willing to pay for the rate. And that's just for the pipe. That's not everything else that we'd have to go through, getting the permits to do it and build it and the streets and the construction and all of that. So that's why we said no to it in the first place. That's why we said don't include it right now. We do want to do it, but we can't afford it right now. It's bad enough just what we're going to cost to get the plant built. A lot of changes in 3 years. There have been a lot of changes in the 40 years that Los Osos has been talking about a sewer plant. It gets more expensive every time you talk about it, every year you delay. To look at Los Osos as the poster child for how to do a sewer plant? I'm sorry. Not going there. Excuse me, Marla, it's my turn. Please be quiet. Okay. Marla, you've had your chance. Now it's mine. Okay. The floodplain situation. We didn't know that the floodplain was going to be defined as high as it is, the level as high as it is. And what happened then with that definition is it means that the damage that will be done if we were to build the wall that we planned on building, it would flood the high school and the neighboring properties. That's why all of this changed. If we move it up here, that is not as big an issue. And that's a bit of a concern for us and for the high school and those property owners. Moving the location completely? Okay. Where? We don't have another property. If we did find another property, what's going to happen to Cayucas? You know, they're a partner in this. If we go somewhere inland where it's not even in their city, even in reach of their city, what happens there? You know, we just dissolve this whole thing. We start over with Morro Bay on their own plant. You got to be practical here. We've had these discussions. All of this was talked about ad infinitum for the last 10 years. We can't start over. We are where we are, and we've got to go on from here, or we're going to stand. And to say, okay, one person on staff said no problem, unless we get that in writing and guaranteed by the governor, I ain't going to believe it. I'm sorry. There's too much at risk. There is just way too much at risk on this process, and we have to move ahead tonight.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a follow-up comment because I think the importance of this decision and the far-reaching effects of this project warrants at least asking the question to the regional board and having that conversation. I do not want to go forward assuming that we will be regulated upon and that we don't have time. And it seems very prudent at this point to at least have the conversation, knowing that at the very least, or very most, we've given up a month. Let's say they come back and say, well, I'm sorry, you have a project. But my inclination is that this is a completely new project. They'll understand our circumstances, and I think we may find support.
They're a political board. Whatever they may say now, when we get to that point where they need money and we're eligible for fines, it's going to go right out the window. I mean, it's nice to believe that, yes, that would all still be there, but I don't. And I say that having seen it happen too often. And when does our waiver expire?
5 years. March 2014.
Okay. So if we're not done, we have no waiver. They're not going to issue another waiver. Again, based on environmental groups that said no more waivers. We've heard it all at these hearings. We're out of a waiver, we're out of compliance, and we're due for penalties. It's too much of a risk. It's way too much of a risk.
It's too much of a risk to even ask the question? That's what I don't understand. Especially when we have the very environmental groups that we're advocating.
You can ask the question in the AIR. You can ask the question during the process.
The problem with that, as I've said before, is we've committed to a specific site and treatment system and project. And I'm holding a letter right here that's addressed to the Los Osos project and the Seoul County Public Works Department. And this is in response to their project and their submittal to, potential submittal to the Coastal Commission. Some of the language in here is really concerning to me because you have statements like, there are several very significant issues that may not be adequately addressed at the county level, ultimately leaving to the commission to question as how they should be addressed. Unnecessary impasse when this matter arrives at the commission. In order to avoid an unnecessary impasse when this matter arrives at the commission, we urge the county to address the following issues at this point, as they are already identified. They talk about seawater intrusion. They talk about the water basin and the severe overdraft of the water basin. They strongly encourage the water reuse and disposal components. Strongly encourage design of a project that returns flow to the basin. Feasible options of analysis include agricultural reuse. They talk about biosolids management and reducing biosolids management. We strongly recommend that the project include such measures from the onset. And we do not want to receive a project that will have elements that will ultimately be delayed for the future acceptance of this project. We consider these things a high priority, on and on and on. And
we see a lot of developers come before us as the city council. And what we see is that those developers, some of those go to the Coastal Commission first to make sure what they've done won't come back to bite them, you know, before they even come to us. And I think if we as a community want to be a smart developer, that we would ask them, we would ask the regional board, what is it that you're looking for, or here's where we've run into, you know, something that's different and you're going to be finding out about it. How can we work this out now so we don't get to the kind of impasse that the Coastal Commission gave to Los Osos? So I would agree with Mr. Smuckler's conclusion there. And then I would just throw in two other comments. And one is that we have 18 months to get all our permits, environmental permits. And that's a nice chunk of time. And that's in parallel to our design and construction phase, which, as you know, goes up to the 2014. And so as they're paralleling that and as staff has told us they've done this on purpose so we can move things together, that I think that we might be sensing this pressure that really isn't as extreme as we think that it might be. So let me just throw this out, as if this council and board together decide not to give ourselves a break and do a little communicating, which we haven't done, with the regulatory agencies, then if you go to a vote, I would encourage us to go, if you're staying inside the box, to go with the MBR inside the box, because it will have less repercussions. And that gives you the box that lets you, as was in the amendment from Corolla, lets us go to a project that's smaller and will have less flooding impact.
And be more expensive down the line. That's the reason we didn't look at MBR before, because the maintenance down the line on it is extensive and very expensive. And that was one of the reasons why we chose to do this. Now, I'm not saying that the movement of the sledge at this point may not end up being expensive as well, but that's something I think we also need to look at in the EIR. That's something that the energy use for the MBR is so high and the maintenance is so high that that's why we didn't go that way in the first place. I don't know if that has changed enough that we want to change that now unless it comes through the EIR.
And wouldn't you want to find out those answers before you make a decision?
I want to find out about them in the EIR. That's part of the process.
And a concern, again, that I have that was brought up really well tonight is we, at this point, have not done any analysis of another option that, actually, I would disagree with Mr. Stringfield, that the ponding systems have been working very well in some communities, and if you have the space, they can be of real benefit for the future. Well, you say we don't have the space, but I'm looking at sites around the community that have some potential. And I am hoping that we get the chance to explore that potential, because that would really, really hurt to not have that opportunity.
Any more comments from Cayucas?
Comments from Cayucas. There were a couple of different additions of how the plant could be sited on the property.
In the original plan?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And as I recall, even one of those pictures, it extended down into that trailer storage area. Is that right?
We showed options that would take this trailer storage area, because we understood that the city owned that property, so we took that liberty, yes.
So it's my understanding that really all we're doing tonight, or all we're being asked to do, is to address a flood issue. It's the same plant. We've just moved it a little bit on site to accommodate the issue of the flood. Is that the essence of what we're doing tonight?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so now let me back way up.
Pardon me, Mr. Enns.
Yes.
Sorry to butt in, but we have eliminated a couple of key elements of the prior project, which was the sledge drying beds and the composting program. So there are significant differences with this project as it's proposed and the original project as it was proposed.
I think the original project had, Bruce, 30% of the sludge composted and 70% dewatered and taken to composting, but off-site composting. So now it's 100% off-site composting.
So if that is a significant difference.
I guess that's what the EIR will say, whether that is or isn't. Yeah.
Okay. To address that issue of the composting, Noah, one of the things that we did in the original direction to Corolla was to try to keep some composting on site. The real reason for that was that Mr. Keough had apparently made some significant strides in being able to compost on site. It was something that attracted the attention of a number of agencies and other treatment plants within the county, and we wanted to keep that feather in his cap in some form, as David has said, 30%. Composting. I hate to see us give that up, but it's my understanding that the cost of keeping it, just the construction cost of keeping it at this time, is close to $5 million, plus the labor and the overhead that would continue in the composting project. And I'm aware that the county is interested in looking at composting as a countywide issue. So I'm in a little bit of a quandary there about whether or not the composting is significant, but I can assure you that $5 million is significant in the long scheme of what we're trying to do here. Add the $5 million to the $9 million for the MBR, and we've almost doubled the cost of what we're trying to accomplish here. And remember that what we are accomplishing here does provide tertiary treated water that can be used as recycled. Of the comments I heard tonight, we have addressed. I know that everyone here is not up to speed. Again, we've been working on this for 2 or 3, 4 years almost. And probably this evening is not the time to sit and try to explain to everyone to actually respond to your comments. It would be very difficult to do that one-on-one. The only, I think, significant change that we've made is that we've eliminated that 30% of the composting, and I've tried to explain why. With that, what I would like to do is ask Mayor Peters if Morro Bay would like to put forward a motion.
I'll move that we define the project as the box that's indicated here and that we proceed with the EIR. Do I hear a second?
You haven't addressed the project. Will that be a second motion?
With the project as indicated, the project we've been working on all this time, in that box.
That's what she
the oxidation for. Ditches. That's the project that we have approved. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion?
I hope we don't pass this motion.
And I hope we do. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Absolutely not.
It passes 3-2 with Winhelts and Smuckler opposed.
Okay, Cayucas, we'll need the same motion.
I so move on that motion that was just stated by the Morro Bay Council.
I second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any noes?
No.
Okay, 4-1. Motion passes. Let me say something to the public here. Your comments and concerns will be addressed through the EIR process. We hope that you will participate in that process and come forward, and we'll look for you here and enjoy seeing you. Thank you. Okay, we'll reconvene, and we have a couple other items to do. One is the consent calendar. Anyone wishing to pull items on the consent calendar for separate discussion?
Anybody over here? Aren't we pulling?
Anybody over here on the consent calendar?
Okay, if not, I'd ask Cayucas for a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I would like to move that we accept the consent calendar as submitted.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Mayor Peters.
Okay. Can I have a motion approving the consent calendar?
I move that we approve the consent calendar.
Second. Any discussion?
The offshore monitoring program is specified in the NPDES permit reporting and monitoring requirements. They have been under contract to the city and the district for, I believe, since 93, and their contract technically expired at the end of this last NPDES permit, and so we're coming before the boards to try and get their contract renewed for the next 5-year period. We're recommending that this contract be renewed due to the fact that marine research specialist, has provided excellent support both for the offshore and monitoring program and getting reports in a timely fashion, but also in terms of their technical expertise in assisting staff in some day-to-day issues. And their real expertise, I think, came through in the permit renewal process that we recently went through. So at this point, if there's no questions, I'm here for questions if people so desire.
Thank you, Bruce. Just curious to know how the public could actually utilize this research and access the results.
Yeah, actually, there's quarterly, semi-annual, and annual reports that are posted on our website. So if you go to the city website, go to public services, go to wastewater treatment plant, you will see a section in there that has all the most current reports on it. They they're very readable. They're just not always all that entertaining, so you might fall asleep while you're reading them. But I have had numerous people tell me that in the business say that they're some of the best reports they've ever seen written.
And just for my knowledge, I'm assuming if there were some concerning results from any of these tests, that we as a board would be notified and there'd be some research into the issues and what potentially is the cause.
Yeah, most definitely. While they're under contract to us, their real job is to make sure that if we were having an issue, they would highlight that issue and it would come before the council and the district board.
And then my last question is out of curiosity, because we have the Back Bay dredging project coming up, and it speaks to the possibility that water quality could be impacted by other activities in the area. And I'm just curious to know how we acknowledge those potential other activities and make sure that this outfall is perhaps not pinned as the source of this potential problem, and how we could differentiate that, and actually just generally, are we going to be testing around the time of the dredging so we have an opportunity to weigh the differences?
I don't know what the schedule for dredging is, but I would guarantee you that when they go offshore to do their surveys, they're very sensitive to issues such as that. And if they did have issues, they would do their best to discern and include those in the reports that they write. And I can say that, you know, in the past, we actually did some bacterial testing on the dredge just because we could. And we sampled the dredge spoils when it might have some condition like that in there.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Any questions from Cayucas?
I have a motion approving the extension of the contract.
So
is that
moved.
What it is?
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None.
Okay. Cayucas, motion to extend the contract, renew the contract, actually.
So move.
I will second.
Motion and a second. Just let me point out that it's for a five-year period, which will take us to the end of the NPDES permit period, and that the coming year 9-10 is for $188,470. Future years to be adjusted based on an index as pointed out here. So all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Very good. Motion passes. Last item of business will be a schedule for the next joint meeting.
As we discuss this item, from the public comments tonight and just general feedback, I'd like to have a brief discussion about notification procedure and how we plan on keeping the various stakeholders in this project aware of meeting dates and changes or adjustments to the project, major hurdles that will move across during the project. And I'd like to make sure we as a board are doing everything we can to maintain communication lines with
the stakeholders that have expressed interest.
Okay, any other comments?
Yes, I would second that, and I'd like to know, second that in spirit. Is that a housekeeping thing that we can take care of tonight, Mr. Ambo, or is that something we need to bring back to the next board meeting? It's not on.
Down at the bottom a little bit. There you go.
I think so. When we do the notice of preparation, it will go out to all of the state agencies because we're going to redo that notice of preparation, and will be sent to the regional board, coastal commission, and all those other state agencies, alerting them that we are preparing a notice of an EIR because we redefined the project.
Could you address the next how we notify them of meetings?
From there on, then we'll distribute the EIR, we'll post notices, and those notices will be put in the paper when we when the public review period opens on the environmental document. Okay. So for these meetings, we've been putting these meetings like we're legally required to. We've been notified. In addition to that, we posted them on our webpage, and
some cities have notices where if you send them an envelope or you give them their email address, then they're automatically notified when certain things come up. Do we do that, or is that something we could do?
I don't recall what we've done before. In certain issues, we've kept a list of people. For example,
And I'm also thinking about the website that you had to know to go to Public Services, to go to the JPA, to find the announcement. So maybe I'll treat that like a housekeeping issue, and I'll talk to the city manager and see if there's something we can work out. Thank
and
you.
Just for my personal knowledge, when you mentioned state agencies, that does not include the stakeholders, such as the Surfrider Foundation, Sierra Club, NPC.
I don't know if they were on there or if they're not. I think it involves everybody in the state, all the trustee agencies. I'm not quite sure it does. I'm not afraid to do that. They're in the circulation. I want to get all the comments we can on the environmental impact report. The notice of prep means that, and I think they're aware that we are doing an environmental impact report, quite obviously. So that's, I don't know how.
I don't think their concern was about the EIR per se, but just our meetings in general.
Okay.
The only thing I'll add to that is we do need to make sure that Doug Clausen gets noticed on these things.
And while we discuss the next meeting as well, which I assume will be in November if we're having quarterly meetings, I'd like to know when the next TAC meeting is.
We haven't set a date for our next one yet because we were waiting for this. When's the next logical time for a meeting? I'm looking down at Bruce down there and Bruce over here. When do you think we're going to have something to agendize?
What's our schedule for that EIR to see a draft?
I need to get a cost from them. I will, at your next meeting, I should be able to give you some estimate of cost and time because there will be some additional time and expense in reevaluating the project. I'll be back with that at your next meeting. I would imagine that we could pick up the request for proposals for we're ready to put that up, but we can pick up the request for proposals for the appraisals of the adjoining properties that we didn't take tonight, and then follow up with our audit, and the auditor could attend our next meeting. So you could probably take care of the...
How urgent is the appraisal issue? Do we need to have a meeting sooner than a couple of months?
I'd give it another month or two.
Well, in light of the number of people that were here this evening, I think it would be nice to have a meeting sooner than a quarter from now. And also, as I tried to say earlier, all of these people should have been here a year, 2 years ago. So if we can keep them coming and keep them on the page, we won't have to experience this we did tonight. If you'll recall, we were asked to approved this box the last time we got together, and I don't believe there was a public member in the audience. Marla, thank you. And then all of a sudden we have all these people, and it's the same. We're still trying to just approve the same question. So I didn't quite understand why they weren't there.
How about Wednesday the 4th?
Which Wednesday's
looks good.
Oh, I don't know. Is Rob not available some Wednesdays? Is that? Third Wednesday? Okay.
Fourth looks good.
I don't mean to be a pest, but Tuesday nights are very difficult for us to get overwhelmed.
Okay, so does Wednesday sound better to you?
Absolutely. And I don't
or Thursday?
I don't mean to.
No, that's fine. Wednesday or Thursday, the 4th or 5th? Any preference? Yes.
Any preference over here, the 4th or 5th, Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday.
I'm sorry?
My preference would be Wednesday.
Okay. Wednesday? Wednesday the 4th?
Wednesday the 4th sounds the best at this time.
Okay.
Let's do
that. Is
that
in Morro Bay then this time?
And I think we have a host of things on the agenda, but we'll be interested in the EIR process and where we are on that schedule.
Okay.
Is that correct, Morro Bay?
I'm sorry? Yes, in Morro Bay. Yeah.
That's the JPA meeting, right?
Right. And then we'll do a TAC meeting
prior to
previous to that, yeah.
Okay. Very good. Any other comments before we close? If not, the meeting is adjourned.